Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, everybody, open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody, all over the room, open your mouth and worship Him. Lift your hands and bless Him in this place. Simple song.
Hallelujah. My hallelujah belongs to you, God. I thank you, God. I thank you. This is a day to give you thanks, to be excited, to be elated about the ideal that He gave us, His breath and His strength, for another day to go forward and move closer to Him so He can move closer to us. My hallelujah belongs to you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome you to the FM AM For Men About Men, where we come together to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's Word. This will enhance us as we strive towards the mark of perfection as men. As men, striving towards the mark of perfection, spiritual maturity in our Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I'm excited today. I'm excited because, again, my hallelujah belongs to God because He gave me my breath and strength to celebrate another day and to celebrate another opportunity to share His word where we begin to grow and mature as men. Hallelujah. But nothing else matters if we're not saved, if we haven't accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, because this is the door, an opportunity that we should walk through in order that we receive the unlimited benefits that God gives us when we follow and act in His will. So for anyone who has not accepted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and I will tell you very boldly that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know from my own personal experience, as I would tell my son all the time, son, when I eat, you don't get fat. So you have to have your own experience so you know what you're tasting, what you're embracing inside of you that is growing every day. This is what happens when you set Christ in your life. He begins to feed you. You know. Because He begins to give you what you need inside, a spiritual nourishment that will strengthen you, the truth you can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Therefore, I say to anyone who has accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, just say with me, wherever you may be, dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, for which I ask you for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for my sins. I want to receive you into my heart, and I ask you that you be my personal Lord and Savior. Father, I humbly ask of you to again to come into my life, change my life, turn it around, Father God, that I may walk in you, talk in you, and know you as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you. I know that you died on the cross for me, for the remission of my sins. So I know, Father God, once I accept you, I am set free. And you, as you set people free, are free indeed. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. Thank you, Lord, for answering my prayer. And Father God, I just glorify and celebrate that the victory of my prayer is so. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you've done that, again, I always like to pre-qualify and That's the easy part. That is the easy part, because now the journey begins. And if you had a journey where you had to go from New York to California by foot, oh, you got some things you're going to encounter, some challenges you're going to meet. The weather's going to change. People going to change. Situations are going to come up you would not expect. But, oh, if you press on, if you press on, if you press on, God will give you all that you need, because he said he supplies all I need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And when God's word go forth, let me tell you, it does not return void. Hallelujah. But you know, I always like to give a few quotes. This one here says, when things go wrong, don't go with them. Don't follow what is wrong, follow what is right. Hallelujah. This is by Elvis Presley. Can you imagine? Then Maya Angelou said, there's no failure as long as you learn from your experience. Continue to work and continue to press on for success. Success in Christ. Yes, success in Christ. And then the great fancy footworker Fred Astaire said, do big things, do it right, and do it with style. I often heard Pastor Prophet Teresa say, Jesus got style. He does things in a big way, and he does it right, and he does it with style. Hallelujah. And the scripture tells us out of Proverbs 13:20, he that walk with the wise shall be wise, but a companion of a fool shall be destroyed. See, you don't want to walk with people who are self-righteous, who are conceiving themselves as always right, and they don't need Christ. They don't need leadership because they think they have all the answers within themselves. In that moment, they are lost. So you don't want to follow the fool, or you don't want to be the one who acts foolish. And then Titus 2:7-8 says, in everything, set them as an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and the soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. See, you want to build a reputation of good. Now, we all got a past, and that is behind us. You know, the windshield is broad, and the rearview mirror and the back mirror are small. Because, see, that's behind you. You're looking forward to a clear path to move forward. And you want to set the example to the best of your human ability through the Holy Spirit guiding you, directing you, correcting you, to counsel you in the direction you need to go. Hallelujah. And 1 Peter 2:12 says, continue to live such upright lives among the Gentiles that when they slander you as practice of evil, they may see your good actions and glorify God when he visits them. We want to measure, my elders would say, you want to make God smile. You want to be in the position that God boasts about you, like he did with Job. If you checked out my man Job, he is blameless and upright. Can't say nothing bad about him. God can say nothing bad about him. Now that's a reputation to work for. And then 1 Timothy 4:12 says, let not one look down on your youthfulness, but rather speech, conduct, love, faith, purity, show yourself as an example to those who believe. So even those who walk in the walk, you want to maintain a certain stature about yourself as a man so that people can look at you and see nothing but can in love. Your conduct and speech is appropriate. Your faith is impeccable. The purity of your existence through the Holy Spirit is steady growing. And then Hebrews 13:7 says, remember, leaders, who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their ways of life, their way of life, and imitate their faith. Those who are the teachers are the preachers, the bishops, the prophets, all those who hold roles of leadership are setting a bar. They are setting a standard. They are setting the example. And we should not forget those standards that they set in order that we now have someone earthly, if you will, to emulate, because they are attempting to emulate Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you know, I always like to share a few stories, and these are a few stories that I thought were significant, because what we have to understand in our walk, there will be times when opposition will come. There will be times when defeat look like it defeated you. There'll be times when your doubt moves from doubt to fear. But, oh, you got to press on. You got to press on. And these are a few men who did that. Walt Disney, as we know Disney World, was fired from his job at the Kansas City Star after his newspaper told him that he didn't have enough imagination or creativity. Can you imagine that? A few years later, he drove Disney Animation Studio Laugh-O-Gram into bankruptcy. So he made some bad decisions. Only when he moved to California to produce the cartoon did his career ultimately take off. Walt Disney's determination to meet his goal is a great example of overcoming life obstacles. You got to be determined. You got to stay consistent. You got to be like a bulldog that ain't ate in 30 days, and he got a steak in his mouth. Can't nobody take it out. Can't nobody take it out. And then there was Albert Einstein. Einstein didn't speak at all for the first 3 years of his life. But even though he received good grades throughout his primary and elementary school, many of his teachers assumed that he was lazy because he was always distracted by abstract concepts. Despite the lack of confidence that many adults showed towards Einstein, he rose above such negativities and developed the theory of relativity. You see, he understood that energy is neither lost nor destroyed, it's just transferred. He transferred that knowledge, that skill set, those gifts that God gave him to go forward, because he didn't see the world as black and white. He didn't see it by the standards of the teacher, as the teacher told me that I would be nothing but a factory worker with five kids. And that might have sounded, it might be okay in one sense, if you will, but in that time frame, it was like a low-end job. That's how they saw it. And see, my philosophy and my family philosophy was, as long as you're making a dollar and it's honest, it's all good. Because it's not how much money you make, it's how much money you keep. But Albert Einstein knew that. And then the man that is one of my favorite guys, and always I put him as a somewhat of a model as well on this earthly, in this earthly realm, is because first he has my name, Harlan Davis Sanders, and his success came later in life. Now, I personally don't think that I've been deprived of success. I've accomplished some mighty things in life. Mighty things. I've seen some great things. I've experienced things that people would never get to experience in a lifetime. And I always say, from a poor boy from Louisiana by way of Detroit, he's seen a whole lot and done a whole lot. That there's a bigger thing for me personally. And many things that I've tried is I said, well, if I could do this, then I could reach this objective. But I had heard that Colonel Sanders had multiple jobs and done multiple things, but here's what happened. For many of us, he spent 2 or 3 years, he could have become disheartened. Yet imagine how he must have been for Harlan Davis Sanders, whose fried chicken recipe was rejected. Now, check this out now, people. 1,000 times rejected. Not just not selected, rejected. So I always tell my son, they always don't think when a girl don't like you as rejection. You see, sometimes it's about the selection. She just didn't select you because you didn't meet the criteria that she desired, just like you have a criteria. Just because you're going to the store and a man want to say, this suit look good on you. You're not rejecting the salesman. You're just not selecting the product. So he had to get 1,000 rejections. But when Sanders was 65 years old, the magic number for me, that's just me, God got his plan, so who knows? It may come soon, it may come later, but I'm good with it because I'm learning how to flow in God's plan. He found himself bankrupt after restaurant business had failed. He drove around in his car pleading with diners and restaurant owners to use his fried chicken recipe. The deal was that for every piece of chicken sold, they were to be given a nickel as commission. He was turned down, check this out, 1,009 times before a restaurant agreed to use his recipe, which he called Kentucky Fried Chicken. Today, Colonel Sanders, icon figure, represent one of the tastiest chickens in the world. Now, now I might beg to differ on that now, because you know when the originator ain't around, the imitator lets things sometimes go down. So we have to understand that things change when the primary, like God is the originator, the creator, but man seems to sometimes let things get compromised. And then there was my brother here, Sidney Poitier. Sidney Poitier changed the way African-American people was perceived in the film industry when he won the Academy Award in 1963 for his role as Homer Smith in Lily of the Field. Porter was first starting out as an actor. His audition for a role had ended up, fumbling his line. His Caribbean accent was so thick that the director stopped him and told him that he was better off getting a job as a dishwasher. Can you imagine that? But down the road, he won this academy. It reminds me of Malcolm X when he said he wanted to be a lawyer, and the teacher said, you should be a janitor. See, people sometimes can perceive you as a certain way by what they see of you today. But that's today. That's today. See, we have to see, the visionaries have to see ahead. And so as Jesus saw Saul to Paul, as Jesus saw Peter, saw Simon to Peter, these rejections not only propelled him to work harder, and all that hard work paid off when he became the most well-paid actor of his time. A poor boy from the Caribbean, and I read his book, he was something to behold. But he went on to do greatness because he understood working harder would pay off. The moral of the story. Coming or the making of something can come with a challenge that can put one off their square, make you look at yourself different, cause you to question your talents, your gifts, look at everything else that people are saying you're not acceptable. However, we can see that these men in the becoming didn't let someone's perception of them stop them from being who God intended for them to be, even if they didn't see themselves that way at the time. See, not lacking of imagination, creativity didn't affect them, neither the potential inability to speak, nor the power of rejection, nor even the age could prevent the making of these men to be God, to become men of God, and to become who he had intended for them. Because remember, he said, I know the plan you have for your life. Not that director, not that job owner, not that school, not that person that says you have no creativity, not them at all. Therefore, when challenges come in our life, let them now be life lessons, not our life curse. For the making of a man is developing, is developmental. It's not magical. It's a process that is not a sprint. It's an evolution. It's not stagnation. For what God intended for men to be is based on love, hope, trust in his plan for our future to be the men, as he would call David, after his own heart. Hallelujah. And that moves me right into the latter part of what we've been talking about for the last three sessions, if you will, the conclusion, transformation through evolution, the making of a man. Our transformation, our change. You know, I've heard women say that if you could only make a man, because these men today are something else. They either in jail, they lazy, unemployed, living with their mothers, self-centered, uneducated, childish, don't want to grow up, playing with video games like they're 15 years old when they're 40 years old, unfaithful, not godly, irresponsible, arrogant, and the list just goes on. See, that's not speaking life. That's speaking death. But sometimes you speak this because this is your experience. So you would speak, as I said, about when I eat, you don't get fat. Well, if you eat something that's not tasty, you may walk away with a memory that is negative about that particular thing. But we know God has a plan for man. And this is how we sometimes get caught up, because we start to get caught up in the whirlwind of things gone by. We lose sight because now we have this bombardment of social media to tell us what men are all about. However, when I ask women, what would this man look like? Their response is very limited, unclear to the definition of what a man is or what he looks like. Most of the time, the responses are what they personally want and desire, and is based on their personal history and their truth, broad or narrow, but their perspective nonetheless. So I retrieved the article written back in 2020, and it suggests that the cultural assumption made around men tend to reinforce a view of men being tough. This assumption forms an expectation of how men should and should not behave. A broad distinction is drawn between the appropriate ways in which boys and girls, men and women, ought to behave. This distinction shows a particular problematic manifestation in how boys and men are expected to conduct themselves, offering not only a limitation in how men can behave, but also deeply destructive cultural norms which negatively impact men. Towards women. This study also reiterates that masculinity in the United States found that traits often associated with masculine behavior were emotional control, risk-taking, non-emotional control, risk-taking, violence, being dominant, being sexually successful, being self-reliant, work-focused, homophobic attitude, pursuing high status, using violence, and having power over women. The bulk of these traits portray men as emotionally shallow, with an interest in being aggressive, domineering, nurturing negative attitudes to women, thus concluded that one of the great problems of how men are raised is that we often try to mold them into the way we think men should be. Now, I gave you a mouthful. This is an image that's projected on our men. So why is this important? Because we need to change that image. You know, and as I went to look forward, again, I found hundreds of scholarly articles that can cause us to have to reevaluate the way we define man and what man should be and become. This is why this series and more to come about the evolution or the development or the making or construction of a man is so important. When I tell people that I'm a part of a group called Good Fathers Only, Emmy encouraged me, I'm young, which is our 8-year-old to 13-year-old boys that we're trying to mentor to develop. And the Good Fathers Only is about helping men to know how to communicate, how to be a productive person in society. Oh, the people say, oh, I want more of this. I want more of this. And yet, at the same time, when we go to people to say, hey, we want support of this, we get the excuses. We can't have it both ways, people. You can't condemn a man, and at the same time, you want to build a man. You have to be willing to build a man and help provide the resources, because there's not many. You know, when it comes to a men's shelter, there's very few. We saw The Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith and what he had to do, and he had the child. There are a lot of bombardment of issues. There's a lot of issues that are bombarding men in such a way that it makes it hard. And you heard all the negativity I just mentioned. Imagine that bombardment of negativity coming into the spirit. As a pastor said yesterday, the ear gate, what we letting in. This is what's being projected about our men. Then it doesn't help much. The crime has always been going on, but it's now project, and I know this going to broadcasting school and digital media, what they project is sensationalism to make that man, and if we add ethnicity to the issue, make that man look. Word tells us that we have to transform or renew our mind. Out of Romans 12:2, it tells us that do not conform to the patterns of this world. We have patterns, people. I listen to people, and sometimes I'm sitting there, and I'm a talker, but I'm a great listener. I can sit there and I'll talk to you for 2 hours. And you say, are you listening? And I'll say, absolutely. And listen with the idea that I want to know your story. I listen because it's important to you. But I'm listening. And as I'm listening, I'm hearing the patterns. I hear the by the world. But he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is the goal that should be the soul of a man, to align himself with his mind, will, and emotion with the mind and heart of Christ. With the mind and heart of Christ. We have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Then in Philippians 4:7, it says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. This week you see, and we saw in the biblical male character, who we viewed as the one of the wisest men outside of Jesus Christ himself at that time. But there were characteristic strengths that he operated out of, that we might see now as attributes which appear to relate to the mind and heart of Christ, even though Christ hadn't came there. Solomon's strength. Solomon loved God even as David did. Solomon reached the second level of commitment, which he already said a lot. Consider how much David, his father, he emulated his father. Christ emulated his father. Is one of the first explanations of Solomon's relationship with God. See, people, we need as men to have a relationship with God. Then Solomon asked God for wisdom and discernment. Instead of money and fame, and you remember in the wilderness that Jesus was offered fame, fortune, power, and control. But God basically gave Solomon free rein to make one wish. And most people would wish for money, a long life, or fame, or power. Solomon didn't ask for any of these things. He humbly acknowledged his weakness and his inability to lead such a large kingdom by himself. He understood, like Christ understood, I can't do it. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Hallelujah. He knew the only way he could be successful was if God granted him special wisdom. Now, how about that? Special wisdom. Not just wisdom in itself. Special. Then Solomon showed he had great amount of humility and wisdom, even asking for wisdom, facing a lot of responsibility that he had to make, tough decisions that would affect the lives of hundreds of thousands of people. See, as we put leaders in office, the real question comes down, not the routine world pattern. So they come out, they kiss babies, and they shake hands, and they hug the ground. You see, I call it the popular, the heartstring. Then once we put them in office, next thing you know, you're upset with them, but you never checked them out. You didn't test the spirit. You didn't check the person who was going in the leadership. Because they were going to, as Solomon said, they were going to make decisions for hundreds of thousands of people. And some got into office and they didn't even perpetrate. They displayed the same behavior in office, out of office, when they got in office, and when they got out of office. See, so we as men should even ourselves prep ourselves when we go to vote or to office or to have a say about a leader. We should do this. If anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and he will give it to you. Out of James 1:5. He will give us wisdom. Men, we need that wisdom. Too many times we think we can do it on our own merit. But our own merit sometimes is causing us making our own poor decisions beyond the choices that we made to make a decision that does not bring about rewards, but it brings about defeat. You see, these are some of the attributes that Solomon displayed. And if you want to know more about how these things, more things about Solomon, then why don't you check out Blog Talk Radio, Kingdom Builder Development, and get the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. Today, I want to present to you a few things we might want to take under advisement. When I was on my way, and I never forget this, and that's why I tell my son today, my lawyer presented something, I presented something, and the judge said, I'll take it under advisement. And at the end, God was working through him to get me here today. God is good. Oh, I've had a colorful life. But God is good. So he took it under advisement. So, again, we as men have to begin to develop and mature so we truly can understand what is the making of a man and how he may look. So let me give you a few points here because I said we're bringing this to a closure now, but not a closure on this subject. That's the closure on this series because I'm going to expand. I'm going to research. I'm going to expand. I'm going to research. I'm going to be like that guy that didn't stop at 3 miles down. I'm going to keep digging until we strike gold. I'm going to keep digging until we strike oil. I'm going to keep digging until we find the diamonds. I'm going to keep digging until we find answers that will help us through the word of God to help us become the men God intended us to be. So let me just give you a few pointers here. Let me just give you a few. A man must know God. Oh, yeah. See, the word in John 10:14 says, I am the good shepherd of God is not the same as knowing God. Certain things about them. And all of us have heard many couples say they complete each other's thought before they even finish speaking because they know them. And oh, like my beautiful, precious, hallelujah, just, ooh, hallelujah, my beautiful, precious daughter. She can't talk like you and I, and she never been to no fancy academy or institution like most people, but she know my voice. And before I walk in the room, she's already smiling. She's already laughing. She's already pumped up. You see, because she knows her daddy's voice. That confidence or that certainty that she knows is me is because she know me. Therefore, as a parent, from day one, this should be a father's responsibility to prepare their sons, also daughters, but we're talking about men here, to know the voice of God, not for how daddy said, but know them for themselves. See, the scripture tells us in Proverbs 22:6, train up in a child the way they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. See, the prodigal son understood when he was in the pigsty, and oh man, I'd have been a lot of them. Like I always say, God take care of fools and babies. And again, I don't see myself necessarily a fool, but I've been foolish, and I've watered in the mud. I've tried to snatch up some of that pig food. I mean, I was wilding. But God seemed fit, like he did the prodigal son, to bring me a thought that would say, you need to get out of here. You've been trained. You've been conditioned. You know how. As we work with soldiers, when they're prisoners of war, they know already in their mind, trained in their mind, to get out of here. In this case, those child, when you train those boys, it don't depart. They seem to figure out a way to get back to their father. Pendant, like a baby. Like a baby. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can't do nothing. You can't do nothing. You see, we cannot do anything apart from God if we're truly dependent on him. Otherwise, we operate as an independent agent. And I know for most of us, before we accepted Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, this was our conduct as men. We were independent agents. Now, it's a fact that we've been created in his image and his likeness. So he gave us a level of ability of independence to go forward. But I like to be dependent on God. Even the idea which we say we should be interdependent, sometimes dependent, sometimes independent, it's a nice word. But I come to the point, this is the best thing to strive toward, to depend on God. That's what Christ did. Because when we depend on God, we draw closer to God. When we draw closer to God, he draws closer to us. Now, the evolution of the transformation of the man is beginning. You see, the next thing is a man should seek to find God's will. Romans 12:3 say, do not be conformed by the patterns of this world. And I said this, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's word, his will, his good, pleasing, perfect will. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You see, we want to be able to move to conform to the patterns of God's patterns, not the patterns of the world and the concept and the ideology that they present to us, where we be like the people when Moses set them free and they want to go up and talk to, Moses went to go talk to God, and next thing you know, they fall back into the pattern of the world and get a different ideology. They start worshiping a golden calf. Can you imagine that? Now, that's out there. Because, again, even though you can see it, it does nothing. But yet you can't see God, and he done everything. When did they ever see the sea parted? When did they ever see this? And the Pharaohs were doing nothing but had them enslaved. But see, again, sometimes when you're blind, you can't see. And when you can't see, and nobody's trained you to condition yourself how to get around, like some people who don't have physical sight, so you're just wondering. As Zig Ziglar used to say, you become a wonder in generality and not a meaningful Pacific. See, we got to get rid of that stinking thinking. See, we thought as a child, reasoned as a child, behaved as a child, because we had the childish mentality. But see, in 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, let me go back to that again. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I came a man, I put away childish ways. So Ephesians tells us in 5:17, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. See, once we get out of the patterns of the world, and this is, again, so people don't get intimidated, because sometimes we have this kind of magical thinking that we will turn around once we got saved. God will wipe out all our problems. And I've watched a lot of people get mad at God on behaviors, first and foremost. Give me. And why don't you do, God? But the question comes in, why don't we do as men? You know, it fascinated me when I was out there in the gangs and what have you. It fascinated me. The littlest guy, and this is another reason I had to move away, the littlest guy controlled the biggest guy. I just never understood that. I never understood that. But I was so curious about how gangs work, I just kind of hung around. But they even said I didn't fit. But I know why I didn't fit now, because God had a destiny for me that was down the road. But I was always curious. Every trouble thing that I got into, everything that I did wrong, I purposely put myself there. I wanted to know. I didn't want your version of it. I didn't want to know how a steak tastes vicariously through you. I wanted to know directly flowing through me. Now, God took care of me, and I'm not justifying that behavior. See, when I look back and I talk to young men today, because they get it, they know I've been there, done that, I know the lingo. But as I talk to them, I say, let me give you the life lessons so you don't experience the life curse. Because you need the lesson. And sometimes different people do different things. You know, Cookie Williams, who was part of the Crips, I believe, and I always get them mixed up, but he was one of the major gangbangers. And he wrote a children's book. He was put up actually for a Nobel Peace Prize, but Arnold Schwarzenegger wouldn't pardon him. But I would imagine the good he could have done. I know he did wrong, but so did Paul. I know he did wrong, but so did Paul. But look at the good he got to do. But I guess that wasn't God's plan. But I would imagine he was changed, and he was trying to do better. But again, as I like to say, people are walking books with different chapters, and you got to understand the first three chapters of a man's story before you can make a clear judgment of understanding about the man. Most of the time we look at the man in the present, and Jesus always looks at the man in the future. So we have to look at their story. When I tell people my story, I'm telling you my story so you can understand how to avoid 20 years of unnecessary. If I could save you 20 years unnecessary, when you hit 40, you'd have now hit the mark at being able to truly do and fulfill God's destiny for your life. Hallelujah. See, once we decide to operate under the will of God, we begin to truly transform into the men God intended for us to be and become. However, this is not an easy transition because the flesh always is oppositional towards the spirit, especially when you're trying to put the old man behind you and the new man in front of you. You see, Galatians 5:17, which is just opposite of what the spirit wants. And the spirit gives us a desire that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out the good intention. Always in conflict. How come I can't? How come I can't? My buddy who, his birthday passed a few days back, used to always say, Dave, how come I can't have one beer and you can't? That wasn't my weight. That wasn't my sin. That wasn't the sin that hung on me like wet clothes. See, we all got something. And I know like people like to put on their super spiritual suit and they fly around as if they're sinless. But the reality of it is, let me put one of them little spy cams on you and follow you around for 24/7. I guarantee I catch you. Now, personally, I don't care. But it just goes to show we all have some flaws. We all have some areas that we're compromised in. But see, we can't do it on. This is why the next one, a man needs to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. As I said the other day, Bishop Butler said, if you think you're going to do this in your flesh, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. I know that. And I tell people what I know, because this is my experience. I can't speak on someone else. I can only speak on mine. And since I'm not ashamed of gospel, see, I was thinking about this morning. I was praying to God. I said, you know, it's a lot of illusionists in the world. They love to create the illusion. That wolf in sheep's clothing is going to be found out. As old saying goes, that's what's done in the night. And I used to always say, if you want to find out what people are about, come out in the night, because I stayed in the night. And it helped me to understand the reality of human behavior and the human nature, especially my own. But this is about an evolution, people. This is about a growth. This is about a change in the way men are. And I'm not saying men are totally broken and that the woman is the most perfect thing on the planet. I think not, because she comes from man. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. So she got her own challenges. But I, as I like to say, sometimes I can't be preoccupied with the neighbor's house. I got to make sure my folks are eating. So I know that they nourished and they ready. So not only will we go out the house, we go out the house to help the neighbors. And it's better when you got more than two. He said, well, two or more times great, God's in the midst. So now if I'm strong and I'm prepared and I'm fed, I can go feed somebody else. I don't know the group now. It doesn't come to my mind. But there's a group that always is out in two, reception of the gospel. But then the word tells, as I said, he needs to be empowered. It's the John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. I will ask for the be able to be with him, to operate within him forever, the spirit of truth, the spirit of truth. But ye also in Acts 1:8 said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Once the Holy Spirit gets in you, check this out. In Romans 8:11, he tells us, but if the Spirit him raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwells in you. And it don't stop there. Then it tells us in John 14:12-14, verily I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. Because I'm going to the Father, here's your negotiator, going your advocate, going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that my Father, not you, my Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me anything in my name, and I will do it. That's powerful. Therefore, as a man who is empowered by the Holy Spirit, he will get help. He will be empowered with truth, because as men, our mortal body will be quickened, revitalized, made alive, because the old man is gone and the new man becoming alive in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Then the next one is, a man is motivated by his love. Dear friend, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Remember, I said you got to know God. Whoever does not love does not know God. You don't know God if you don't love, brother, because God is love. This is how God shows his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. I in them, as thou in me, that thou they made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and loved them as he loved. But that he loved us and sent his Son as an atonement sacrifice for our sins. He was, you see, Jesus was took upon his body on the cross for our sins, that we may die to sin and live unto righteousness. Dear friends, since God so loved we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us, made complete when we love one another. Love your brother as yourself. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone had not, and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. Here is where, as men, we begin to operate purely out of love, not as the world gives, but as God gave us. Once we do this, we will begin to become men and operate out of 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, my favorite love chapter. We become love. Minded or proud or pride-minded. It won't dishonor others. It won't be self-seeking. It won't get easily angered, so we won't have a prisons full of angry men. It keeps no record of wrong, always pulling them darts out the bag. It will not rejoice in evil, but rejoice in God's truth. Why? Because God is the way, the truth, and the light. If you want the abundant life, you want to know which way to go, you got to go with God's truth. It will begin to learn how to protect. It will learn how to trust. And I know it says, oh, but I'm saying it my way for right now, so you get the picture. You'll know how to have hope in the future. It will always help you to preserve. You see, this love that God gives, it never fails. If we truly desire to act on these words of love, we will then see the manifestation of the fruits of the Spirit. See, all this is the make. If you had men who was operating out of this, you couldn't wait to get up. You know, you would just want to love on them. You want to see them. You want to touch them. And he couldn't wait to see you. Fathers, children couldn't wait to be with their father. It'd be like that opening of the Andy Griffith show, Opie and Andy walking, just having a good time. And the little boy looks up at his father in admiration. This is the making of a man. You see, because the fruits would be love. And in that we understand the making of love, and then that would produce joy, that unspeakable joy. Girl, why are you so happy? because I got a man that gives me nothing but joy. Is that Stephanie Mills, you say, I never knew love like this before. And I remember Phyllis Hyman say, you know how to love me. You know how to love me. And then it would create a peaceful environment. They don't have to be afraid to go home. The kids don't have to be afraid to go home. The wife don't have to be afraid to go home. The family don't have to be afraid to come over because it's peace in the house. I own a They came to do a city test, and when he walked in there, he said, man, I feel the spirit of peace, that presence. And since Jesus is the Prince of Peace, we know we got it. Then you will see patience, and so you'll be rendered kindness and goodness, and you're faithful, and you're gentle in spirit. Why? Because you have that self-control. And against these things, there is no law. Hallelujah. And then a man should be self-sacrificing. Matthew 20:25-28 said, but Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the ruler of Gentiles lords over them, and those are great exercise authority over them, and those who exercise great authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whosoever desire to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whosoever desire to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come. It's about. This is what it's about. You see, Luke 9:23 said, then he said to all of them, if anyone desire to come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross daily and follow. Service. This should be a man's primary objective, to serve from the heart. I believe that selfless service doesn't mean that this is a part of love too, because God said, love thy neighbor as thyself. However, pride is now taken out of the equation, and now you know how to take care of yourself and others. And last but not least, is that a man should be a servant to all. See, we have to have this added, we have to have this in ourselves, which was also in Christ. And although he exists in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as things to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bond upon himself. He emptied himself. He gave up all himself from the right hand of God to become a bond servant, being made in the likeness of men. He came to be as us. This is out of Philippians 2:5-8. And then we go here and we see that there is many things that we might want to consider, but I'm moving forward for the sake of time. So why am I presenting these situations, these men that I talk about? Because I understand that men need a model. They need someone who they can pattern after. You see, 1 Corinthians 10:24 says, let no one seek his own good but that of his neighbor. So ultimately, the reason we want to spiritually mature as men is to serve God, and man is Christ displayed to us. This should be what we strive for every day of our lives. However, I must emphasize and reiterate that this is a process, people, which requires faith, hope, obedience, sacrifice, a change of heart and mind, and a willingness to want to spiritually mature into the men God intended us to be. Thus, when we say or hear the world's perspective about the making of a man, we should test the spirit to the scripture to determine as men or as women who are looking for a man that is truly, is this the making of a man by God's word? See, remember, Paul thought he was a man when he was Saul, but God in his divine wisdom saw that he needed to help Saul realize, because he was blind, he had no vision of what a real man looked like, until Jesus took the blindness of the world off him and gave him the vision of God's version of a man, putting off those childish thoughts, reasoning skills, and behavior to start to become the real man God intended from him to move from being Saul to Paul. So it's essential, people, if we're trying to develop as men, We're looking to see, is there the making of a man? We have some foundational tools to use. So remember, the scripture tells us that the weapon of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down the stronghold, casting down imagination, the thought, and every high thing to try to exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bring it to captivity to the obedience of Christ. These thoughts we got to change by the renewing of our mind. So it's essential that we strive every day to move towards the spiritual maturity. And as I said before, that this is just the beginning, and I'm going to keep adding and keep compounding and keep putting together, just like a sculpture who trying to make a sculpture of a making of a man. I visualize the thinker. When that gentleman was, I forgot his name now, was building the thinker, he had a man sitting there with his fist in his chin and on his thigh, and he was thinking. He was changing his thoughts. So this is essential. But as I close out, there's nothing more essential than the prayer of salvation. Nothing more essential than the acceptance of Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So I will reiterate it, because everything is for naught if you have not walked through that door of opportunity to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So please, if you haven't, begin to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead so you could be saved. That you confess Jesus as your Lord, and you're making him Lord over your life. You're renouncing the past, and you're looking to the future, for all things to pass away, and now you become new, and you become a new creation in Christ, the beginning of the making of a man. So again, I hope that I was able to share some knowledge and wisdom as it's imparted upon my spirit to share among to you of what I have. And again, I like to say, I don't just give it, I live it. I try to put it inside me every day. And oh, I'm like any runner. I might get a little tired in the stride. I might trip over acorn. I might miss it here and there. But like Les Brown said, if I fall down and I'm on my back, if I can look up, I can get up. And if I can get up, I can... given to the swift for the strong. I plan on being a man of God. And I plan on having those words that said to me again as I close out. I hope this week, men, you move towards that change, that transformation. But again, it all begins with Christ. So as I always like to say in party, you pray for me, and I pray for you. And let's watch and see the transformation, the miracle that God will do for me and you. Hallelujah. Have an amazing week. God bless you.
Strong tower makes me say.